Grace is shown to you and is yours this Lenten season and forever in Christ Jesus. Amen. God's word before us this evening from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 26, verses 35 to 41. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell down with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." So far the word of God. Lord, guide us in truth. Your word is truth. Fellow watchers of grace, growing up, there were a few television shows that would bring my family together. We would all sit around and watch them and enjoy the entertainment, but the family time. And being the geeks that we were, two of them happened to be Star Trek The Next Generation and Jeopardy. But almost by accident, another show found its way into that family circle. It was one called America's Funniest Home Videos. And the sweet and sassy children of the show would have my parents chuckling, while the sheer physical comedy would have my brother and my sister laughing right by my side. One thing that would happen occasionally on this show is a person would be particularly bold and claim, "Watch this!" Now, when that moment happened, everyone would stop breathing. When you hear the words, "Watch this," you know something spectacular is going to happen. Whether or not the person succeeded, usually they didn't, something that would hold our attention and not let go was about to happen. I remember one spot, and I can't recall if it was more recent or back in the day, but I remember there was a man on a roof. You can tell where this is going. And he decided he was going to do a backflip off of the roof into a garbage can. "Watch this," he claims, and he jumps. And he did it. Partly. The image of him flying through the air still kind of gives me the cringes. Of course, there's another "watch this" moment that would show up. And that's where the statement is made, and then the action is a long time in coming. These are boring. These were the videos that never made it to the $10,000 round. Because there's a little bit of excitement and then, wah, wah, dull. But if you watch to the end, there could be some gems. Like the guy who was trying to break down a silo with a sledgehammer. He says, watch this, and he hits it with the sledgehammer, and nothing happened. And he hit it again, and nothing happened. And he kept hitting it. It was like a 3-minute video. And finally, he gives up, and he looks at the camera and goes, break time, and the silo fell down. There are gems if you watch. You can probably see where I'm going here, as the theme of this service is watch and pray. Lent is a time that is oh so crucial to the Christian walk, and yet we can find ourselves being lulled by familiarity or lack of excitement. So if you find your heart or mind wandering this season, then listen up. It is to you whom Jesus is speaking when he says, watch and pray. In this scene, we have our old friends, Peter, James, and John. And last time I was before you, we got to talk about their calling as disciples, their beginning of their walk with Jesus, and now we have them at the end of their earthly walk with Jesus. And we should rightly expect that there should be some development in these men. And there should be. After 3 years of walking with Jesus, being taught by Him, having been sent out, there has been growth, but not perfection. Peter, as bold as ever, opens the text, claiming that even to death he would follow Jesus. And this was echoed by the other disciples too. Let's not forget that. Now, this may have been just a simple, bold claim, but it may also have been a friend trying to lend strength to Jesus. The conversation before our text tonight is rather telling of Jesus' state of mind. He tells the disciples in verse 31, "You will all fall away on account of me." Not exactly the kind of statement that shows a mind that is unburdened. So Peter and the others try to reassure Jesus. But he knows where all of this is going. And the ominous evening continued. They got up and left the upper room and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I imagine the walk to the garden was still uncomfortable. Jesus was feeling the weight of the coming task. He was feeling the weight of the burden of the sins of the world. And his mental state is revealed oh so clearly in verse 38 when he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." This is his human nature revealing itself. Jesus, the man, was being overburdened by the gravity of the situation. So he reaches out to his friends. He says, "Watch with me. Lend me your presence. Give me comfort." And then he steps away to pray. And this is the moment. This is it. This is why Peter, James, and John came along. They had been brought here for this moment to hold down the fort and to hold up their friend. And as they sat there, they seemed to have missed all of the signs. They forgot the odd way that Jesus spoke at dinner. They eased their minds about how Jesus was on the walk to the garden. And as soon as he walked away, they started to think about the kind of day they had. And it had been a long few days. From the triumphal entry on Sunday to the clearing of the temple again, and the ever-present parables and crowds, they had been busy. Even that very day, they had started out without any plans for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And by the evening, they had the upper room, they had communion, and they had the two revelations that one of them was going to betray Jesus and that they would all be scattered. That's a lot to take in. And they thought about how tired they must have been. Their weariness overrode their wariness. Quickly, their eyes drifted closed and their watch ended. Those guys, huh? They were there. How could they do that? Here we are. It's week 3 of Lent. How are you doing? Where is your attention? Has the season become commonplace? Do you miss the Alleluia in our midst? Have the words of the Passion history become glazed over from familiarity? Or have the matters of your different interests taken up residence in the front of your mind? A deal at work, the project at school, a schedule for recreation or vacation, perhaps planning some entertainment, a video game, a movie, or a date. As our own watch drifts, we fall into the same trap that snatched Peter, James, and John. We get all caught up in our things and miss something utterly amazing happening before our very eyes. These three have been with Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. They should have been swept up in anticipation. And we have seen that transfiguration too. And we can get swept up in this story. We love uncommon stories. Not just as Lutherans, not just as Americans, but as human beings, we love stories that exemplify something amazingly uncommon. We love movies like Rocky and get swept up in the uncommon nature of rising above. We love movies like The Princess Bride, where we get swept up in adventure and true love. And we love telling the stories of David and Goliath, where the little defeats the giant. Or Joseph, where you're sold into slavery on one day and soon you're the second in command in all of Egypt. Yet here's Jesus, the absolute most uncommon ever, period, the God-man, falling to his face under the gravity of facing death. He is bearing unimaginable guilt. He is locked in mortal combat with the accuser that can only end in his death. And he's God. Death is completely alien to him. This reality knocked him from his feet. when the watchers slept. And sometimes we don't pay attention. Yet without our eyes on Him, Jesus rose. Greater than round 13 in Rocky, slowly beating the countdown, without epic music or cheering from the crowds, with sweat like blood pouring from Him, Jesus lifted the load on His shoulders. He prayed and got to His feet. And look at His prayer. In it, He laid out His pain and His fear. He was scared of what was to come. It was monumental. But He ended His prayer oh so clearly, not as I will, but as You will. Submitting Himself to God's will in prayer and action, He was able to rise and come back to the men who just didn't seem to get it. He spoke to them sharply, but with love and guidance as well. Jesus returned to find His inner circle slumbering. Guys, remember when you said, even if I were to die, I would follow You? This was the moment. This was the chance to show it. But ever the teacher, Jesus reminds them, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Keep watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. Now, this specific passage is where we get our theme for today. And it sounds good as a theme, but I want to point out a translation difference that kind of emphasizes what Jesus was getting at. Keep watching and keep praying. These are present imperatives. It implies repeatedly and continually doing these things. This is a call to be vigilant in the moment, but also in what is to come. Keep praying so that you do not fall into temptation here is really the same as what's in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. This is to fight the temptations that might come at us, to pull our focus away from what is truly important. And of course, He reminded us just how weak we are. So this call to keep praying is to lean on God for the strength needed to fight these temptations. Tonight, name some of them. What tempts you to look away? What tempts you to lose focus on your Savior? Is it the bills piling up? Is it the fun that other people are having? Is it discontent in your situation? Name them. Be honest to yourself and to God. He knows what tempts you. You know what tempts you. Keep praying about it. Keep bringing it before God and asking Him for help. Ask that His will, which is not for you to fall into temptation, be done in your life. And sometimes you will slip. Sometimes you will fall asleep and lose your watch. This is not okay. But it is forgiven. Jesus spoke with love to those who were with Him in Gethsemane. and He encourages you with the same words. And for us all, He followed through with God's will, bearing that heavy burden to the cross so that we could come to Him in confidence, knowing that He kept God's will perfectly. And following His example, we can receive strength and encouragement from His hand. Continual prayer puts our God in the forefront of our minds. This meditation brings us to know Him better. Admitting that our flesh is weak, Jesus doesn't call on us to find our own strength inside in our own way. He commands us to fall on the help of God. The disciples were too weak in the flesh to be fully aware of the scene before them. We are often too distracted to appreciate it too. But keep watch and keep praying. Christ's suffering is what has cleansed you. In His suffering, death, and resurrection, the uncommon story of your salvation is playing out. And that is worth watching and rewatching and rewatching. These days, I don't find America's Funniest Home Videos as funny as I used to. I'm not as gravitated towards the physical comedy stuff anymore. It might be because I'm a parent. It might be because I know how long it takes to heal from some of that stuff. But I'm more drawn to the videos of kids saying something that's just utterly precious. But every once in a while, someone says, "Hey, watch this." And I can't look away. Watch this. The greatest thing ever done is playing out before your eyes this Lenten season. Be struck by the magnitude. Be at peace because of the outcome. Be grateful for the work of Christ. Keep watch and pray. Pray that as Christ set about God's will, so too in your life, God's will be done.